I don't know. Okay. We're finally set up. Thank you for waiting, everyone. It's really, this year I hold a microphone in my hand. That's a little different. I used to have the little Madonna microphone. For those of you who don't know me, first of all, for those of you who do know me, welcome back. It's nice to see you all, each and every one of you. but for all the new people, I won't assume that you know who I am. I am but a small person in this world. I'm called Bicycle Mark. I'm a journalist. I'm a citizen journalist. I'm a citizen reporter of the internets. I produce a weekly or bi-weekly, depending on what's going on, podcast on underreported news, global concerns, issues that affect quality of life. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. There's room. I see a few. Come on. I hope breakfast was good. I had to turn down the invitation to breakfast. And I'm here today, and I often come here, I've been at the last three, right? And I come here to introduce an issue that I'm working on. It's not always the most technical issue, but it is usually related to society, again, to quality of life. And this year, this helps my elbow hold the microphone. This year, it's genetically modified soy, and I'll try to explain a little bit of why I got into this, and then we'll get into the issue fully. I have a remote for just such occasions, actually, I just remembered. Of course, I have to stand back here. Just talk amongst yourselves. I'm just kidding, don't talk. So I choose these issues. Last year I did the Arctic. I thought I saw an Arctic talk for this year, but it seemed to be canceled or moved. Maybe that's where I came in. I eat soy. I mean, a lot of you here probably, maybe, drink soy milk, yeah? Some of you may eat tofu. You may use soy sauce. A lot of us went out for sushi. Half this room and I went out for sushi just a couple days ago, and we used soy sauce. And what I found when I started to think about it is that I don't often know where my soy comes from. I mean, you guys know a lot about where our computers come from. You probably know a lot about a lot of where your food comes from, maybe your fruits and vegetables. You can see it if you go to the supermarket. And I was this happy soy drinker probably for like 10 years. Yeah, more than 10 years. And I always just thought to myself, well, I'm drinking soy. I'm the good guy. I'm doing my part for the world. Soy power. And honestly, that is more or less my thinking. And not to say that I've changed my mind completely. I'm not trying to get to that point. But about a year ago, I started to consider where my soy was coming from because I think I was doing research into urban farming. I don't know if any of you caught my talk on that issue. And from urban farming, local farming, I started thinking about, hey, where does this Alpro soy stuff come from? So I started looking up the topic, researching, and what I found out, I'm here to present to you today a little bit. Of course, this issue is enormous. It goes much deeper than I could possibly present today, but I'll do my best. And so instead of talking about it, I'll do it now. I entitled it Not So Soy Fast, The Rapidly Expanding World of Genetically Modified Soy. Let's see. Let's go to the first slide. That might help. But one way to start is we have to talk about what soy is in general, or at least some rough idea. Go, computer, go. Note to self, remote is dead. Note to self, screen is frozen. You clap, I'm fucked. It just flickered. Well, a famous man once said to me, enough with the presentations. Oh, I know this presentation. Technician. You know, I had this vision that when I come on stage at the CCC, at the 25C3, there's like three technicians, one to check my hair. Obviously, we didn't have that technician. And then one to help me get this shit worked out, because as you can tell, when I come on stage, everything goes wrong. If somebody could help while I talk. Oh, look at that. Okay, I'm clearly mirroring my display. Should I not be doing that? Oh, fuck it. Yes, get the phone. It's better than this shit. No, don't clap. This is like Turn on mirroring. Why not? Why not? It worked out badly last time. It's like one man's quest. Oh! Oh, I added that crap. That's good. That's good. I'm so sorry. All right, all right, all right. Our favorite forms of regular soy. We got the bean. Look, I even put a photo. I'm like a 12-year-old. We have a bean, soybeans. You don't often eat them in this form. Maybe some of you do. It can be pretty good. There's also oil or, different kinds of uses for soy oils. And meal, which looks disgusting. But these are the three most popular or most commonly in-demand forms of soy in the world. There are a few others, but they all start around here. Here's my favorite, the soy milk, the tofu, and the banana panda pudding. Now, these all existed without genetically modified soy, and, I think they were just fine. But that wasn't good enough. You know, we like to play with things. And I say we, I mean humans. And so a few humans got together, and they formed corporations, and then we've been fucked ever since. But, oh, look, I forgot to get them all out at once. Let's talk about soy a little more, actually. I tried to find a graph here. This is from 2002, so some things have changed. But what this graph should be showing, and you'll check if it does, is that these are estimations, right? Until 2002, the rest is estimations, so 2002 would be here. And what it shows is that the United States was the world's biggest soy exporter, just regular, general, all kinds of soy. And then number two was Brazil with a shit ton. That's a scientific measurement. And after that comes Argentina, I think, in yellow, I'm guessing. And then after that comes Paraguay, and then others. The U.S. was the biggest exporter of soy. This year and next year, it's already changing. Brazil is moving by leaps and bounds. And one of the reasons Brazil is becoming, not that it's a bad thing to become a big exporter, I guess, but is because of genetically modified soy. So that's just to give you an idea of the estimations, and here I'll illustrate it. 2 years later, they started making their estimations again, and Brazil's in the green up here, and Brazil just, it's all predictions because, you know, the apocalypse is coming, so this may change. But barring the apocalypse, or this may be the apocalypse, actually, Brazil will be the largest soy exporter in the world. And we'll get a little bit into how much of that comes to Europe, because some of us live in Europe. I do as well. I live in Amsterdam. I didn't mention that. So this is sort of the whirlwind state of soy. I know you're hungry already. And I added a little, instead of me explaining, because I think I get redundant and boring, I added an old man farmer who's also part of the American Soy Association, which is a front, but that's not his fault. Wait, actually, it is his fault. He joined the front. But watch him explain it. It's a great little infomercial. Oh, look, the audio isn't working. Go figure. Hold on. Hold on. You're going to love it. There you go. Thank you. All right, here we go. He's going to tell you how much he loves his soy. This is now, we're getting to GMO soy, I should say. I'm jumping ahead. We're in the future now. And
we'll go out and spray one pass of Roundup to burn down the weeds that are growing in the early spring. And about six or seven weeks later, I'll spray a second pass of Roundup. And that controls the weeds for the year. Before we had Roundup technology, this field would have had weeds. We would have had to walk through and pull the excess weeds by hand. It was labor intensive. So the Roundup Ready system saves me time and it saves me money.
It seems Monsanto's new wonder has what it takes to entice farmers. But how does it work? How can the soybean plants survive
being
sprayed
with Roundup?
I left this
part in. I figured you'd find it exciting because it's got
this is a soybean cell. The core of this cell contains its DNA in which the bean's genetic structure is encoded. In order to create its GMOs, Monsanto breaks the species barrier using a Roundup-resistant gene harvested from a bacterium. This gene is placed on microscopic particles of gold, which are fired into the soybean cells with a gene gun. The gene penetrates the DNA and creates a protein, making the plant resistant to Roundup. When the herbicide is sprayed on the crop, it kills all the weeds, leaving the soybean plants intact.
Isn't that awesome? All right. Oof. Yeah. You can prepare the same way for a night out, New Year's Eve in Berlin. You can spray yourself with gold flakes. This was just a little segment from a film with a questionable title, The World According to Monsanto. Monsanto is one of the world's largest genetically modified soy companies. So I've jumped right past the world of soy. It's too big. It's too big. Let's go to GMO. And as the man explained, and I'll go over again, he's very exciting, though. The idea is that, well, farming soy was too labor-intensive. It took too much work. You had to go through. There was weeds, pain in the ass, these weeds. You have to pull them. You have to pay somebody to pull them. It's just not fun. And then you have other questions of harsh conditions in different parts of the world. Well, they made, using a gun, the gene gun? And I'm not making fun of gene guns. I would play with one. And I know you guys would. Someone here is, I think. But the idea was to make a strain of soy that you wouldn't have to pull the weeds anymore because, as they said, and I like to repeat things, basically it works like this. They make a strain of soy that will no longer, that can sustain the pesticide that they produce. So they sell you the seed. The seed is strong enough to withstand this specific pesticide. The pesticide kills everything else except the plant. So all you have to do is buy the seed and buy the pesticide year after year. Now, for this farmer, and for many farmers, including especially Brazilian and Paraguayan farmers, this is a hell of a thing because it now allows you to, in theory, spend less on labor and you get more for your buck or your peso, as it may be. That was the idea. And let me just introduce you to some other large soy corporations in the world. Maybe some of you work for these corporations. I will allow time at the end for you to yell at me. There are four big ones in the world that I think matter, so I put them here. Monsanto being the biggest. Archer Daniels Midland is a slightly smaller one. They partner with Monsanto. Cargill, and there's the soy sauce thing. Maggi. Blair Maggi is this crazy, I'm not going to talk about him too much, but you have to know there's this guy named Maggi, and he's this Brazilian millionaire, billionaire. I think millionaire's too small now. Billionaire. And since you're a billionaire, you may as well get yourself elected as governor of the province where you farm. So he's now the governor, which is convenient, of Mato Grande do Sul in Brazil. And he makes your soy sauce. And I just want to add one quote by him because I think he's a funny guy. He says, and I'll read it. To me, I won't do it in a Brazilian accent. To me, a 40% increase in deforestation doesn't mean anything at all. And I don't feel the slightest guilt over what we were doing here. We're talking about an area larger than Europe that has barely been touched. So there is nothing at all to get worried about. Anyway, enough of it. This is a man that exists, and he's one of the big soy players in the world. And maybe you agree. Maybe everything's fine. I thought it was suspect. Oh, I put flames because Monsanto is like the devil. No, stop. Okay, so Monsanto is a funny thing because it's this company that only came to be in the 1910. In St. Louis, Missouri, which if you're in St. Louis, Missouri, you got nothing better to do than perhaps build, you know, new types of killer seeds or seeds for life, whatever. And Monsanto comes to exist, and you may have heard of some of their earlier products. Agent Orange? Yeah. Yes. PCBs. PCBs were, they ended up finding them in the Hudson River outside of New York City, and it's a hell of a problem. Apparently, they make children grow three arms and produce a whole lot of types of cancer. And Monsanto had produced these originally, let's not be too mean here, the idea was so that your refrigerator could have, I think, coolant. I believe that was one of the ideas. So it's not their fault, they wanted you to have a refrigerator. So their earlier projects were such a success that they moved on, because you can't do the whole Agent Orange thing anymore. They still had their magic laboratories in St. Louis, and they started working on the soy seeds. But they didn't stop there. They have successfully, and I have a list I want to show you. Want to see something cool? Hold on. I swear I have something cool today. Oh, wait, first you have to watch this commercial. Sorry. It's brief. Go, commercial, go. This is I stopped it. This is a commercial for Monsanto's seeds. You're going to want to get these after you see this. Some people.
It's easy to see why people are excited about Roundup Ready to Yield.
Oceans
soybeans.
Of soy.
Monumental yields. Coming for 2009.
This is better. That's soy, baby. That's soy.
It's easy to see why people are excited about Roundup Ready to Yield soybeans. Massive yields. Coming for 2009.
I noticed that this morning. I had to throw it in. I'm sorry if it's irrelevant. Because, of course, when they go to farms in Paraguay and in Brazil, because they do have to sell this shit to people, and they're very successful at it, they don't show these, I don't think, because I don't think the Paraguayan farmer cares if he can surf in his soy. But what this points out is an attempt, and it's been successful in that there's so many people adopting, and I'll give you some stats, I hope, on genetically modified soy. They're doing this public relations thing where they tell you, look, there are people starving in the world, okay? All right. And no one can really argue that. It's a fact. There are people starving in the world, so what we do as a company, or what we want to do, is create a way that plants can survive in extreme conditions, that you can get more food for your crop. So what we're doing is feeding people. Who's against feeding people? The problem is, because you can't argue with any of the things they just said, the problem is that they don't discuss any of the side effects. They also don't bring up the fact, as some of you may be thinking, we actually had enough food and still have enough food if we don't even use the genetically modified soy right now. There is enough food to feed the people in the world, but they act like there wasn't. So what we needed to do was this, because this would guarantee food in every mouth. They should have known about that Burger King hack. That would have done the trick. No, we don't eat that. So let me show you the cool thing. I swear it's here. This is like my house. You look in a pile of things and we see what we find. Yes, okay. So, yeah, Greenpeace made this, so, you know, you can take up your grievances with Greenpeace if you don't like the list. But it's an accurate list. I checked most of it. Turns out that Monsanto didn't just make their version of soy, Roundup Ready. They also took the kind liberty of, through the last 10 to 15 years, buying up every possible seed they could in the world. I'm talking about, well, here, it'll scroll while I talk, I think, if I'm any good at messing with, yeah. They bought up cotton, they bought up corn, and not just one corn, they bought up all kinds of corn. They bought the intellectual property to our food. I think they were high-fiving each other when they bought a special kind of cotton that only grows in India. It's a major crop for certain sections, parts of India. And they bought that one up, so now every time you use that cotton, you owe them money. And they've been doing this. It's such a long list, I got tired of recording this because I was scrolling so slow. I can't even read this to you. It's a long list, and it stops at 2005 because I couldn't find updated info. So one of their tasks has been, not just in soy, this goes well beyond, it's to own the rights to our food. And I, from the looks of things, they're halfway there, if not already there. So I thought I would share that list with you, and you'll think about it over lunch. Go, here we go. So some of the side effects you've heard about, but I made a little list anyway just to make your life more miserable as you think about these things. You know, if you make a plant that can withstand the existing insects, there's an old expression, nature finds a way. There is already evidence that insects get stronger. So they're going to have to, this is a big moneymaker actually, because then you have to make a stronger pesticide, and I'll sell that to you as well. And that'll cost a little more because it's stronger. But anyway, one side effect, weeds, pests get tougher. The other thing is compromising conventional crops. I didn't bring the video because it would be too much. I think you would have had enough. But there have been cases in, I believe, Canada, and you start to see cases in Latin America where a strong wind blows and all of a sudden the farm next to the genetically modified farm, the regular guy, I like to call him, or girl, all of a sudden their crops start turning up evidence of that they got the Monsanto Roundup Ready. But you didn't buy that. And it's growing on your property. And they actually have people that will go to your farm and investigate, kind of like checking if you've downloaded movies somehow. And they'll go to your farm, and if they see proof that that seed is growing, and you may not know it, or you may, I guess, you know, it may have happened by accident, I hope, you'll get fined. And if, of course, you don't pay your fine, maybe you get jailed. All of a sudden, you're going to jail because you were just farming, and some dude next to you was growing this new type of soy. And furthermore, your regular seed, which may have been passed down generations and generations, I've been asking my grandfather, like, where do we keep the family seed vault? Well, that sounds weird. But I did ask. He's old. He didn't mind. And so they'll actually sue you. Your life could be destroyed because a guy next to you is using these copyrighted seeds, basically. It all comes back to open source, doesn't it? Wow. Destroying a rainforest. You know, it used to be very popular when I was younger to talk about destroying of the rainforest. I don't know if that's still a popular thing to talk about, and I don't care. I think it should be. And one of the great side effects of soy farming specifically, and genetically modified soy farming as well, is that it's destroying rainforest at a rate faster than ever in history. And I'll show you a little photo that'll make us all feel more bad. Then there's long-term effects on humans. I mean, this is, you know, speculation. We don't really know what happens to us down the line as we consume this type of food. Now, in the European Union, there's a restriction that says you can't sell genetically modified food, soy, to humans for human consumption. But there is a loophole in that, and I'll tell you about it. Hang on. That was a preview. Displacing and sometimes terrorizing native farmers. This is big in Paraguay. You may watch, you know, world news every now and then. And if you have in the last year, you would have seen Paraguayan indigenous people of Paraguay getting their asses kicked on the streets of Asunción in Paraguay, the capital, because they're angry at the government. And I'll show you some ass-kicking if you like watching that. Hang on. Oh, yeah. BR-163. That's a highway. I can just picture it. Rock and roll. And your favorite SUV riding down through the Amazon. It's 1,770 kilometers of soy highway. That's like Lisbon to Paris, I think. Yes, it is. Lisbon to Paris, if you've ever gone that road, that's a lot, is my point. And so every time they expand, you've got to build highway to lead to the fantastic soy farms, genetically modified, of course. This is still going, you know, because it's a big moneymaker. All right, so there is some response in the world. I got in touch with he doesn't want to talk to me anymore, but I tried to get in touch with a Belgian guy who leads a group of people who went down to Portugal. Yes, one of my home countries, Portugal. We grow a lot of genetically modified crap. And just to show you an example, this is not soy, this is corn, but the issue is pretty similar. And I just had to show you bits and pieces of this. Here's a whole lot of text you don't want to read. So we'll fast forward. And here's an annoying news effect. Well, we can watch this. Ready? Go.
Param cerca de 2 hectares de milho. O proprietário do milheiral nem queria acreditar no protesto. A GNR acabou por intervir e afastar os jovens do local. Trata-se de um grupo recentemente formado, autodenominado Verde Eufémia. Promete repetir estas ações noutros locais onde existam plantações de produtos geneticamente modificados.
Stand by for action. Walking. Huh? Corn.
Chamava-se Catarina, Alentejo.
So they went to the farm and they just started destroying corn. It's an act of civil disobedience, not vandalism. And the weirdest part has to be when the farmer shows up. Oh yeah, and the press was there. So he brings up the farmer's yelling at the people there. I'm going to cut it off. You have to watch the film, not here, I guess. And he brings up the fact that people are starving and these quote activists are destroying his genetically modified corn. So again, there's that very successful public relations campaign that farmers wholeheartedly believe. A lot of farmers that I know in Portugal, even yes, I know genetically modified corn growers, they say, look, you know, this is better for us, this is better for the people who eat food, so, you know, don't come here with your high morality. Here I am with my morality. So there is civil disobedience throughout the world. There was a large meeting this year in Bonn regarding what was going to happen well, not just soy, but farming policy in general. And there were huge demonstrations, or at least large demonstrations, against the policies that have been adopted. There's also the repression that I talked about. I mentioned Paraguay, a place where indigenous farmers have found that they show up to their land. I mean, they're not always the most savvy in terms of ownership and purchasing large-scale farms, and all of a sudden the government has sold plots of land from underneath them. You know, their traditional land is suddenly put up for sale. They didn't know it. They come back and they've lost their rights to it. Or they get offered a whole lot of money. They take the money. They don't realize the side effects, and that you can never go back, obviously. Here's a little BBC News report.
Paraguay's landless peasants are angry. That anger exploded on the streets of the capital, Asuncion, and was met
October.
With tear gas, rubber bullets, and a water cannon. The protesters are demanding agricultural reform. They say that Paraguayan land is being occupied illegally by Brazilian farmers and that corrupt officials have allowed these outsiders to acquire their land for decades. The peasants have stepped up their demands for land distribution since Fernando Lugo, a former Catholic bishop, came to power in August. His election victory ended the 61-year reign of the Colorado Party. With a reputation as the bishop of the poor, he promised to address the needs of the country's long-suffering farmers and indigenous communities. But after the violent clashes, he warned that the government would take action.
We'll use all the laws available to deal with any group who tries to destabilize or break the order, whether they come from the country or are businessmen or other groups who are not pleased with our social policy.
Paraguay is one of the world's biggest suppliers of genetically modified soya. Much of the farmland is in the hands of Brazilians, who practice large-scale mechanized agriculture. This offers little work for the peasants, who also accuse the Brazilians of deforestation and carelessness with poisonous pesticides. Lugo has urged the peasants to give him time to implement an orderly agrarian reform. But as these latest clashes show, the patience of Paraguay's peasants has run out.
So I'm sorry to cut off BBC. That's highly disrespectful. As you can see, it's you know, Paraguay in this case, but it's not the only place in the world where people are revolting. I mean, this is our food. This is the food source. You know, you could be peaceful about a lot of things, but when it comes to starving, at some point you have to put your feet on the ground and resist. And that's what they're doing. And that could get worse over the next few years. Speculation. So there was an attempt, based on what I'm saying, because I'm not the first one to observe this, to make an international agreement that says, all right, Bicycle Mark, leave us alone. We will make an international agreement that says we will farm soy responsibly. It might be genetically modified, but we'll be real careful. We won't allow our genetically modified seed to infect or pollute the farm next to us. We'll pay people properly. We won't make it too expensive, and etc. But the system was made by the agribusinesses, and it's volunteer, which reminds me of back in the day when Reagan was president, and I think he appointed DuPont, which was the largest chemical company, to be in charge of environmental protection, which was a clever idea back then. Oh, it was rejected, by the way, by a majority of NGOs around the world. This big to-do. They protested the whole meeting. So gone is that agreement. Psh. Let's go to the EU, since that's where we are. I mentioned before, in the European Union, you cannot eat, or you shouldn't be able to eat, genetically modified soy. So your soy milk is safe, as far as we know. But there is one exception. Most of the soy that is imported, and it's a lot, from Latin America, genetically modified soy, it can go to animals. So just to repeat that so that I'm clear, because I know I speak quickly, the genetically modified soy doesn't go straight into your mouth. That's not allowed. But it can go to your animals or your neighbor's animals. And so that is okay. That's something to keep in mind. I think I brought some... Oh, I made a pie chart. I worked very hard on this. I really did. The existing one sucked. Of all the EU imports of soy, I'm not going to, it's like some metric trillion tons, 56% comes from Brazil at this point, 33% from Argentina, 2% from Paraguay, and only 6% from the USA. However, the USA does supply a small nation called China with most of its soy, and that is a whole lot of mouths eating. The USA specializes in GMO soy, the most in the world comes from there. So I just wanted to give you a pie chart. Goodbye, pie chart. Go. Go away. There's this thing in the European Union which is guaranteed to put people to sleep. It's called the Common Agricultural Policy. You know, Europe doesn't agree on a lot of things, but there's one thing they agreed on very quickly. It's farm subsidies and farm policy, and it's usually the one thing that pisses off people first. Well, first. And I very much like the European Union. I'm not knocking the fact that it exists or anything like that. But there's this thing called the Common Agricultural Policy, the CAP. And when it was founded back in the 1960s, the idea was large-scale farming. Make it big, make it fast, make a lot of it. There's a new Common Agricultural Policy coming, and if you read the text, you're a scholar, and you're incredibly focused if you do that. But what you'll find is that the focus is on small-scale farming, it's on organics, and so in theory, there will be a big focus in the European Union towards raising our own organic, in fact, soy, or not genetically modified, and focusing less on large-scale crops. Whether or not it really happens, we will see in our lifetime. So I thought I would mention that. You'll see these signs all over if you travel, especially in Portugal, some parts of Spain, the genetically modified tags. I spent a lot of time looking at them, taking photos of them. It makes me hungry. Does not make me hungry, I lied. I thought this was interesting, and since this is my collection of crap, I brought a map of the Netherlands. That's that country over there. And this is the 7 locations for genetically modified crops experiments. Yes, because although in Europe we frown upon genetically modified crops in general, we do allow tests, and man, do we allow a lot of them. Not every country, I know. Hold on. So the Netherlands has 7 locations, and I just wanted to give you an idea of the type of experiments they're doing. There's apples, potatoes, and corn. Those are the big ones. No soy. That has to be in hot temperatures. But the experiments are here. There are at least 3 countries that outright ban genetically modified tests. That would be Austria, France, and Luxembourg. There are countries that are more prone to genetically modified tests, and that's the UK, the Netherlands. Who's my third on that list? Well, I'm missing a third. Oh, well. So there is this other force in the world. This is not like a Star Wars story, but there's this thing called organic soy. Some of you may consume organic soy. I do, quite often, actually, because you can actually find it in very expensive, overpriced organic grocery stores. And I was just looking at some statistics from 2006, because I'm old school. UK sales of organic groceries, of course, have increased. That was 54% back then, but it's increased again in 07, and it continues to go up, as you can tell, because when you go to the grocery store, all you ever see is more and more organics. Turns out Italy, Spain, and Germany contain the largest organic farming areas, but you already knew that because you probably have a relative who's growing organic pretzels or something. I know, pretzels don't grow. I know. European average of between 2 and 6% of the food market in general is organic. That was last year, so it's going up all the time. And this could be a counterbalance to genetically modified soy in the world. But, of course, you have to actually want to buy organic. You have to be able to afford to buy organic, which is not always easy. And wouldn't you know it, things that come from genetically modified soy are often very low-priced. So that's one of the big challenges. Wrapping it up, believe it or not, the question becomes then, what is the future of soy? You have an increased share of farming that belongs to soy. In Brazil, I think they're getting closer and closer to about 10% of farming in general. That's GMO, and soy is on the rise, and they've got the Amazon that they continue to take from, and they've got European consumers that continue to buy it, often without knowing. You have more power in lobbying. You know, Monsanto is doing incredibly well since they own all your food. And with that money, they can influence policy in Brussels. I mean, there's a talk going on right now in Room 2, which I'm secretly listening to somehow, and it's about lobbying Brussels, as far as I know, but that's for telecom. But there becomes a question of, like, who is lobbying against these large corporations, these agribusinesses, who are influencing European Union policy and then comes down on all member states or tries to come down on all member states. And there's a general relaxation of policy. These tests that I showed you in the Netherlands, 10, 20 years ago, No one would have accepted that, or at least it seemed like nobody would. And now it's sort of tolerated. Cargill and Archer Daniels Midland, I believe, they actually sued the European Commission for not approving their genetically modified potatoes, in fact. So they're actually suing the government for not saying okay to dealing their shit. It's a weird world, we knew that, but it continues to get weirder. And this does find its way into almost everyone's diet. I was eating a chocolate bar, silly me, it was from America, and it had hydrogenated soybean, partially hydrogenated soybean. And it comes from America, so my soybean was most definitely genetically modified, and I still don't feel good, which explains why my presentation is not making you jump out of your chair. So that is more or less the odd end. You know, what will happen is anybody's guess. Myself, I intend to continue to follow this issue. I hope to go to Brazil and Paraguay. I have not been there, if you're wondering. But the hardest part is that there are so many farmers in this world, and they're not wealthy people, and they can be convinced to try these things because they're promised great things. They're promised what we call pie in the sky. And how to combat that from here is... sometimes it's beyond me. But don't fret. Everything will be okay. Buy organic soy. Watch out for your genetically modified stuff. And stay alert. Thank you. And I'm pretty sure that I saved enough time for questions. So, be kind. There was a hand there. Oh, hi.
I have a question concerning that Monsanto list, because it's a very long list, it's very impressive, but what is the market share behind that list, also depending on whether that's soy, whether that's another kind of crop? Can you detail, give a bit more detail on that?
One more time. You're asking how many on that, those lists were soy?
No, I'm asking you, what's the market share that's accumulated in that list? Because if it's a very heterogeneous industry,
yeah.
This long list could be, you know, 2% of the market.
Right. It's going to take forever for them to own all the possible seeds in the world. But they have forever. I mean, they're a powerful and ever-growing corporation. So the list of seeds we just saw, yeah, I think at one point I said they almost control half the world's food. That's just me being facetious. I don't think that they control half the world's food, but they will do what they can to buy it up, and they've been doing a hell of a job. At this rate, I mean, in 10 years, that list, I mean, it'll keep growing. So a lot of those seeds on that list are not large extremely large, largely used, huge market share seeds. But every now and then, they hit the jackpot, like when they bought the Indian... cotton, I forget the specific name, it has a very technical name, and that one was the most widely planted cotton seed in I think, the nation of India, in fact. So I don't know what the market share is, but that they occasionally hit a big one, they do. And that they're getting more and more powerful so that they could find more seeds to purchase the copyright to, they will. I mean, unless some kind of international agreement is made to stop them, but I don't see that happening. I answered your question with another answer, didn't I? So clever.
Hi, Mark, over here.
Hey,
hi.
Alex.
Now, I'm not a genetic engineer or anything, but I keep hearing about these genetic sequencers available on eBay and everything, and it seems to me that if you can engineer something to be resistant to Roundup, you can engineer something that eats stuff that is resistant to Roundup. What would you think of such a project?
Yeah, I've heard, and you guys know more, maybe it was you that mentioned to me, I don't know, that someone is working on their own, it's an American, I think, and I think she was here, her own genetically modified seeds at home to do the opposite of what a lot of these would do. Myself, I don't mind, I mean, what does it matter what I think, really, but I don't mind if people experiment. I'm here, obviously, because I like experimentation. I think what I mind more is when you force it upon people who don't know what's really going on. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking about the farmers who are I mean, they make a commercial of some sort, not that kind of commercial, but like a billboard or something in Paraguay, and you're convinced that this is what you should do, and you risk, you know, your family farm. So I think it's cool, myself, that people could conduct the kind of experiments that you're talking about, but I think that these companies have the money to do it on a large scale. I think the kind of stuff some of us could do, that would be funny, the sort of biohacking Congress, I think we don't have the scale that they do, but it would be a cool way to do civil disobedience against it. I don't know, do you know somebody, do you know the person? No, okay. But I think it would be interesting, yeah. I mean, I think it's a good way to fight back, too. Although, careful.
Hi. There's one thing about soy which you didn't mention very clearly. As far as I know, most of the soy actually isn't used for making products, good products like tofu and soy milk, but instead it's used to make animal food, high-protein animal food, for animals which afterwards end on our pizza and burgers and sandwiches and everywhere where the average civilized person eats a lot of meat. And most of the soy goes there to the animals that we eat at the end. And that's a problem, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I did. Unfortunately, I saved that towards the end. Somebody remembers. When the fact that in European Union, most of the soy that we import, majority of it, so something around 80%, it just goes to animal feed. And that's okay. That's considered legal under the European Union regulations. So, yeah. Is that a line, or what is that? Is that the people here to beat me
line.
Up? You work for Monsanto?
It's a line. Thank you for the beautiful talk.
Really? And oh, thank you.
Yes,
oh, thank
I liked it very much. Just one addition. You had that numbers from the Netherlands where our... things are out in the field, and just in addition, this is happening here in Germany too, especially in the east. It's mostly potatoes, what we do here, and it's possible to hack that because there are certain regulations, and what most people don't know is that the companies putting out genetic modified organisms in the field don't care for that regulations. The regulations are quite strong in Germany, but they just don't care for. And if you go out and we take care for it, for example, they have certain regulations that there has to be 50 meters to next field and all this stuff, they don't do. At some places, they have to make fences. They don't do. So, as I know, Greenpeace has lots of material and information where these things are. It's easy to find out where they are, and it's easy to go there, take photos, and show that they don't keep the rules, so then they have to shut down these fields.
Hmm. Actually, you just...
Thank you.
You just reminded me of something. You know, it's a simple method of searching for information. I'm such a researcher. I was Googling for maps of where organic experiments or what do we call them? Experiments basically are taking place because I found that Dutch one from the Dutch government, in fact, which is pretty cool. For all the bad things I can say about the Dutch government, they put up a map with where it's going on and what kind of crop. I couldn't find, and I did, I think, specifically Google, well, not that Google knows everything, maps of like Germany. Yeah. And so if somebody would do that, if you could map it, you get a cookie, an organic cookie.
Try Bundesumweltamt, for example. Okay. That's not in Google, but they have to, because it's a law in Germany, to monitor this.
Yeah. So mapping these things would be extremely helpful.
They don't do a map, they have just a list, and you have to find out where it is, each...
Okay, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah.
I have a question about the farmers, the act of civil disobedience, as you called it. Do you repay the farmers for that? Or
they didn't. You say you. I didn't do it, I swear.
Sorry.
No, but I think it would be cool. I would have gone. I'm a fanboy like that. They did not repay. Actually, those guys in Portugal are still facing trial in Portugal, which takes forever. Repaid? Let me do my answer. I don't know what ended up happening. I know that they're facing trial. Like I said, one problem was the guy who did it, who wants to remain anonymous, would barely talk to me. I know somebody who knows him, and she tried to put us in touch with each other, or one of the main people, and nobody will talk to me. I don't blame them. Obviously, you have to remain anonymous, like a lot of my friends out there on the internet watching this from home in a secret location in Germany. You might want to ask him when it comes down to it. Sorry.
Hi. thanks for the presentation. Very nice. My question is, in fact, it's a two-parter. So part one, do you, in your opinion, is all genetic engineering bad? And number two, corollary to that, is we live in a world where we seem to have kicked off some very, very rapid climate change, probably more rapid than natural evolution, certainly in our highly specialized food crops, can cope with. Do you think that there is that our future lies in adapting our food crops to our new, potentially hotter, saltier environment? And if we're faced with a catastrophe where our natural species can't deal with this, is it right for us to start interfering, or should we let things just kind of roll on and extinction, etc.?
Yeah, I don't want to be an absolutist about these things, and we don't know how the future is going to be. And like I just said to Alex, I'm in favor, and maybe it doesn't matter what I'm in favor of, but people experimenting in general. I don't think that's the problem. What bothers me in general, be it science, be it any other area of food, is when people start lying about their intentions or their purposes, and also the uses of these things. So I just want transparency in terms of telling a farmer exactly what could happen if you get into this. And I think one of the biggest problems is, of course, the extreme profit motive behind it. I mean, profit motive in general isn't the end of the world, although it's done a hell of a job. But what bothers me is the lies behind what they're doing, your purpose. So I'm not against genetically manipulating or I mean, my grandfather used to say we were genetically manipulating things way back before we knew anything about mapping a genome on farms, but it was cross-breeding.
It's called selective breeding.
Yeah. So no, I'm not against it, but I do question the motives and the methods and ultimately the purpose. But I don't want to be absolute about these things.
One other thing I would say is, if you do choose to sort of like do biological hacking, whatever you do, don't let it out. Because I've had some involvement over the years with some genetic engineering groups, and I've seen some absolutely terrifying things. So just don't let it out. Bad.
I mean, that's definitely an area I don't know anything about. Like, it's good to answer that way too. Is there anything else? I think we're just about.
Questions? More questions?
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Sorry for the technical crap in the beginning, but you know how it goes. And and thanks to everybody who came out and is out there on the internet watching and organized this business and pulled for me earlier to be here. Thanks. See you around.